All right, thank you. Praise team and Josh. As a matter of fact, I've asked them to kind of stay up here with me this morning. I love coming and hearing God's Word as Pastor Jeff delivers it every Sunday, every Wednesday night. But, you know, God speaks to me also through music throughout the week. And I believe that there's a lot of great messages like that one in music today. You know, just give me the eyes that I can see, God, all those needs around me. And that's what we're kind of focusing on today. If you don't know who I am, I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Jeff's out of town, and I have the privilege to share today for our local missions conference. My name is David Joseph, so I just want to thank you for being here with us this morning. And I tell you what, I really love the series that we have Pastor Jeff just completed on the road. Man, that was such a great series. As a matter of fact, just a little commercial. Next week he begins another series called Ancestry, looking at the book of Acts and just trying to find out, hey, where did Christians come from? And you're going to be able to see a lot in the beginning of the church is going to relate to us. So it's going to be a great series. But I love the series called The Road, and especially that first message that Pastor Jeff preached on departure. And I love what he said about when you take that step into beginning your life on the road being Christ, you know, that's not the end. That's just the first step. I mean, if all it was and we're meant to do is just to enter into a relationship with Christ and we started on that journey, if that was the end game, then he could just take us on home to our destination. But that's not the end game. And I love those messages. You know, there was departure, and then there was direction when he talked about God's GPS, the Bible for direction in life, distractions, how we can be distracted so easily in life. And then on detours, just really spoke to us on what happens when things unexpectedly happen in our life and seem to get us off the road. And then last week, that message on destination, just that picture of heaven and what's in store for us as believers. Well, I'd like to add one more D to the mix, you know, when we're thinking about the road. And that is the word D, definition. You know, what defines your life? What gives it meaning? Once you begin that relationship to Christ and you're on the road, what gives it meaning? What defines it? And there's so many things that can define your life that shouldn't define your life. Your career, relationships, possessions, finances, hobbies, all these distractions can end up tempting, and you'll allow them to define your life, but that's not what should bring definition to your life. Definition to your road. And so what does that have to do with our local missions conference? Well, I just want to share with you today. What I'm doing right now is I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to ask the band to come back up and to lead us in a song. But, you know, I believe in a big God. I believe in a real big God, not a little God. And you have to ask yourself this morning, do I believe in a big God? This verse won't be on the screen, but it's kind of my life's verse, and a lot of y'all stole it from me, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And so I do believe in a big God that has plans for my life. And there's a couple of verses I just want to share with you just to make you realize that. That you have a plan and a purpose. I love Ephesians 2:10. And it says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not that we're saved by our good works. The two verses before this one talk about we're saved by faith through grace. That not of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works. But we have, and I love this, Verse 2:10, for we are His workmanship. That word workmanship is only used one other time in Scripture. And it really means masterpiece is a better translation. That you are His masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for something, for good works, which God has already prepared beforehand that you walk in them. Which kind of blends right together with that verse in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works. And then bring glory to your Father that's in heaven. And so God's prepared something for you, some good works. What is that? It's different for you, different for me. But I believe that God has wanted us to be a light in this county so that people will see good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. And then, of course, we know that we have been sent. We've been commissioned, the Great Commission, you know, go into all the world and make disciples. And that word go is better translated as you go, as you walk through life, as you travel your road. Make disciples. And then I love what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 as he's praying to the Father in the garden. He says, Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And that's why you'll hear those two words that we talk about often, which is living sent. We're to live sent. And I believe in a big God. You know, and Pastor Jeff has shared with us what our mission is here. And it's back to Matthew chapter 29. It's to make disciples. That's our mission at Indian Rocks, is to make disciples. It's the mission for the church as a whole, is to make disciples. And how do we do that at Indian Rocks? Pastor Jeff shares this with us all the time. It's through C4. That's our discipleship process. That's how we make disciples. We want to connect you to God. And that's what we craft these weekend services to do with our praise teams and with Pastor Jeff delivering God's word to connect you to God. Then there's that encouragement to connect you to others where you want to get involved in a small group of some sort, whether it's a connection group or a discipleship group or the ladies' Bible study, men's Bible study. We've created these things for you to connect to others. And then we have ministry teams around here to connect you to ministry. Our frontline team, our praise team, greeter team, so many different teams for you to be able to minister and to use your spiritual gifts. And then, of course, C4, the last C, is connecting you to the world. And Pastor DJ is there to help direct us there. And we have a strategy called our Acts 1:8 strategy. You may not even know what that means, but it's our strategic way that we've put in place for you to assist you to connect to your world. And we're not talking about the world across the ocean. I'm talking about the world right outside our doors. That's where it starts. Because Acts 1:8 says this. But you shall receive power, because we can't do it on our own. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Where? Here's the strategic plan. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, or the end of the earth. So that is our strategic plan. Our Jerusalem is Pinellas County. Our Judea being the state of Florida. Samaria, the United States. And the ends of the world, the ends of the world. And so that's our strategy to help you to connect to the world. And then what I love about what Pastor DJ does is once a month, he has an Acts 1:8 meeting where you can come on a Wednesday night and find out what's happening. And we have our different teams, our Jerusalem team, Judea, Samaria team, ends of the earth team, to just share what's going on and how you can get involved. And then twice a year, we have a missions conference at the end of February, beginning of March. It's always our global impact celebration where we focus on the ends of the world. And then always in September, we try to just give focus to our own Jerusalem here in Pinellas County. And so we've invited out in our worship center lobby some strategic partners that we have, that we support and that we connect with to just help us connect with our own Pinellas County, our own Jerusalem. But you know who our greatest ministry partner is? It's you. It's you and me being that light in our neighborhoods. And, I just want to show you the map that you've seen around here occasionally. But first, picture in your mind Pinellas County, which is the second smallest county in all of Florida, but it is the most densely populated county in Florida. We have over 3,000 people per square mile. The next most densely populated county, I think, only has 1,500 per square mile. I didn't have to tell you this. You travel on our roads, you know. But, you know, there's almost a million people in this little county here. And what is the best way for us to reach them? Is it to picture our county with, I love where we're situated. This 50 plus acres has just been a blessing and we are a light. But what's the most effective way to reach our county? This one bright light smack dab in the middle of the county. And we are a bright light. We are a beacon. Or just take a look at the map right here. Here's a close-up picture of our church. And you'll begin to see a couple of these little blue dots. They're the people. That's some of you that live close to our campus. But then look at the next slide. We kind of pull back a little bit. And then you begin to see all of y'all. If you're a member of our church, your dot's up there someplace. And then if we pull back just a little bit more, you realize that, I mean, we saturate this county. And that doesn't even give a picture of everything. Some of you travel from, you know, Pasco County. We have some people living in Manatee County and Hillsborough County. But that just gives you a picture. Can you imagine if our light shined bright? What is the better strategic plan to reach this county? The single light of our church is a beacon, or 2,500 family units shining brightly? Just something for us to think about. So, you know, again, I just want to, I'm just telling you what I'm going to tell you this morning. And I want to just focus on Pinellas County, and I just want to take a look. Three pictures. First of all, I'm just going to look at our individual opportunities and influence. Then I'm going to look at a little bit wider focus of what a connection group or a small group can do in our county as we come together. And then we're going to look at just the church as a whole. And what I'm not talking about, as Pastor Jeff says, this campus. No, we're the church. But it's something happens when we focus all of our energies and thoughts on some particular things. It's really cool to see. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Again, I just want us to, first of all, today, just look at the individual influence that we have. You know, our personal responsibility as a dot on the map. And to follow him to the poor and the needy, to the broken homes that are, you know, each and every one of us knows someone that's broken. Could be you this morning. But how do we do this as an individual? How can you have an impact? You know, a little over a year ago, we kind of shared a little pamphlet called Live Sent. And as I looked at this again, just some ways that can be helpful to you to live sin. I just think that it's an easy strategy. And I'm going to share a couple of personal things this morning of how I've put this in place in my life. And I didn't go to seminary or Bible college, so I didn't learn to pray for my neighbors through some course. It's just something that we can do. And I just want to share how God has responded a little bit. But that's one of the things that we can do to start, is to pray. Just to pray. I believe in a big God. I believe that he placed me in my neighborhood on purpose for a purpose. And I believe that, you know, in here, there's students here this morning, whether they're middle school, high school, maybe elementary school students in here, college students. I believe in a big God that's placed you in that particular school, in that particular class, on purpose for a purpose. I have to believe that God's that big. And I believe that he's placed people around you that only you can reach as a student. I believe that, you know, if you could just remember that map again, just take a look at that map of just that all of Pinellas County. That just shows you where you live. Can you imagine the exponential multiplication if I all of a sudden put a dot where you work? You know, that whole marketplace opportunity that you have when you go to your office, I believe in a big God that has placed you there on purpose for a purpose and has placed people around you on purpose for a purpose that only you can reach and pray for. So, the influence that we have as individuals and families is amazing. And I say, just begin to pray. That's all. Pray. Pray. And then I love when Jesus tells his disciples to watch and pray. Then begin to watch what God is doing. I love what Henry Blabby says in Experiencing God. He says, oftentimes one of our biggest mistakes as believers is we begin to pray and then we turn off our spiritual conversation, concentration when we say amen. And we don't realize the activity of God in response to our prayers. So I would say to you, just begin to pray. Prayer walk, I think, is a phenomenal thing in your area. If you could just take a walk. And this is the way that I do it myself. It doesn't look like it, but I run 3 times a week, you know, early in the morning before the sun comes up. I just run a couple of miles because the doctor told me I needed to either do that or to stop eating incorrectly. And I'd rather run. So I do that. And then when I get back, I just walk to cool down, and I make it a point. And this is let me tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is how do you pray for your neighbors? First of all, you don't want to be an inch deep and a mile wide and just pray for all the blocks around me. Ask God to reveal to you who to pray for, and He will put somebody on your heart. I guarantee it because He's done it for me. And He's put, you know, I'll skip houses. I live in a townhouse, so I'll skip little townhouses. And I'll just pray for the ones that God has put on my heart. You know, some of them I struggle with their names, but God knows. I'll say, Lord, I just pray for those two in there. They're on my heart. I'll get to know them, you know. But most of them I know by name. And I'll walk 3 times a week and just pray in front of each house that He's laid upon my heart. And then I watch what He's up to. And it's an amazing thing to see what happens. And so we want you to pray, to just watch. And then when the opportunity presents itself, begin to build a relationship. Maybe someone needs to borrow a cup of sugar. They don't do that anymore, but, you know, or to borrow some, you know, or maybe you see, hey, can I help you with something? Just build, because you know what? God's at work. And when you see an opportunity, just Wednesday morning, I'll just share this one. You know, I was out cooling down about to jump in the pool to cool off. And it's about 6:15 in the morning. And this one neighbor that I've been praying for was outside. And, you know, God just tugged on my heart. He says, He's outside for a reason at the same time you are. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know, he's only been living here about 3 months. I said, I just want to let you know that, you know, when I told him I've been praying for you and your family for the last few months. I said, I just want to let you know that. And I said, if there's ever anything specific that I can pray for, please let me know, because I'm praying for you anyhow. And he said, thanks so much. And I walked away, and then he got my attention. And he says, would you mind just praying for our finances? He says, I'm not able to get the overtime that I once did, and it's really having an impact. And I said, I'd love to, you know. And he thanked me. You know, who wouldn't want to be prayed for? My wife and I, we invited some of our neighbors that God had put on our heart over for just pie. And no agenda other than to, you know what, I live this far away from one of my neighbors. And they'd never been in my house. You know, and so because I live in a townhouse again, you know, so I'm 12 inches away from my neighbors on either side. And so we just invited them in and had pie and coffee with about 7 of our neighbors. And at the end of the night, all I did was to say, hey, listen, I just want to let you know that I pray for you. Each week I pray for you. And so I just want to let you know if there's ever anything specifically that I can do and to pray, please let me know. And each and every one of them thanked me so much for praying for them. And it's not because I'm a pastor. That's not training that you have to learn at some, you know, seminary or Bible college. It's just praying. And one other story, too many stories, but just to let you know what, how God is so good. There was a couple that moved in, and I just began to pray for them. Didn't know them by name, and God put them on my heart. Unbeknownst to me, that the young lady worked in an office where two ladies from our church were, and they had been praying for her. You know, she didn't have a chance. And it was amazing. And next thing I know, that young lady was in one of our ministries, and I got to know her by name. And then I had the privilege to baptize her. Then I had the privilege to lead her fiancé to Christ. Then I had the privilege to marry them. And I don't believe it's because I'm a pastor. Well, the whole marrying thing and baptizing thing, maybe. But to share my faith? No. But I believe that it was probably more the prayers of those two ladies praying for her than it could have been mine. But the three of us, unbeknownst for a while, we were praying for the same person. Just praying for your neighbors, building relationships, inviting them. Look at your heartbeat this morning. Can you imagine? I mean, okay, how do I invite them to church? Invite them to something that's non-threatening. Our gen team tomorrow night is going to be doing a thing on Protect This House. Everybody in here should be there tomorrow night because you want to know what's going on with, I don't even understand it all, with your children and your youth as they're using their phones and internet. What's out there? It's going to be taught by an FBI agent. And I'm going to tell a couple of my neighbors about it that have teenagers and kids because it's, people will thank you for some awareness like this. You know, the HD Night of Worship that's going to be in October. Remember, it's not next Sunday night. Men and Boys Fishing Retreat. If you're a golfer, turn to the back page. You know, there's so many different things that you can invite your neighbors to. And so I'm just letting you know that as you're a light, just look at this map one more time. As you look at this large map with all those dots, I want to personalize it a second. Go down to the next one. Look at a neighborhood. Not a neighborhood, but just an area. This is right off Walsingham Road, right around the corner from our church. And I'm going to focus on that bottom neighborhood. Let's just zero in on that. You people, whoever you are right there, just look at that. It's in that Del Prado, San Rafael Drive, right off of 137th. You saturate those three or four blocks. That's amazing to me. And if you were to begin to realize that you have fellow church members all around you, can you imagine what would happen if all of you began to pray, walk on a specific night of the week? And begin to know one another. I was just thinking about that neighborhood. Can you imagine on a Saturday, every one of you having a garage sale on the same Saturday? Every one of you. And maybe a little sign out in front that said, a portion of the proceeds will go to Pack-A-Sack or ROM or our children's ministry or fill in the blank. And people are going to come and say, well, what is that? You get an opportunity to share. And then they're going to go to the other house and another house, and they're saying, what's going on around here in this neighborhood? You know? And all of you maybe have something, a jamboree announcement. We'll resource you. But can you imagine what we can do? What's going to be have a greater impact in that neighborhood? Our church is a beacon, or you being a light to that neighborhood? Just a thought. Just a thought. I have no idea where I am in my notes. Why is that important? I just want you to think about this. Then I'm going to ask the band to come up and share again. But why is this so important? Because, again, I believe in a big God that has placed you where you live, students, where you go to school, parents, where you work on purpose and for a purpose. And this isn't the feel-good portion of the message, because this is the truth of God's Word. One day, you're going to have to give an account of your life's work. You can find that map. There's a big map right before you come in the doors, and you can find on that map where you live. But I want to show you where you live in Scripture. Can I do that? Turn with me over to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to show you where you live in Scripture. And this is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I'll start off by just reading verse 14 to 19. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and made 5 more. And so also the one that had 2 talents did the same. But the one who had received 1 talent went and dug it in the ground, hid his master's money. Now, verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. You can read the rest of the scripture. You know, that's where you get those first 2 servants. It says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. And then that one who just didn't do anything was with what was entrusted with him, he just called him a wicked servant and cast him out. Now, you can't base your theology on a parable. That was casting out wasn't, you know, you're sending him to hell. No, it was, hey, you had the opportunity to present me with something and you were not able to present me with anything. And it felt like to that person that he was cast out. But I want you, I'm going to show you where you live in this scripture. Look at in my Bible. This is what I have written. If you have electronic Bibles, it's hard to do this. But if you have a Bible that you can write in, write this in. Between verses 18 and 19, say, I live here. Another one of my Bibles, I just have it listed as today, between verses 18 and 19. Because that's where you live. You've been entrusted with resources, talents, gifts, opportunities, the place that you live. God has entrusted you with some things to be used on purpose for His purpose, to be able to be a light. And one day, the Master will stand before Him and will have to give an account of what He's entrusted us with. That's Scripture. I mean, you can look at these other portions of Scripture that, but that's where you live, between verses 18 and 19. And I believe Scripture is clear that there will be that day. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And that word evil is better translated good for nothing, because our sins have been washed away, but we're looking at our life's work and we're going to have to give an account of everything, whether it's been good or good for nothing. His agenda or our own personal agenda. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 15 gives you the same picture, but just a same message, but a different picture of building. What are you building upon your life? Where Paul says, according to the grace given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so we have this foundation of Christ in our life, and then we're going to build upon it with the way we respond to what He's entrusted us with. And we're going to either build upon it gold, silver, precious stones, those things that have kingdom advance and what He leads us to and what He empowers us to do, or the stuff that we can do in our own agenda, the wood, hay, and stubble. And one day it's going to be judged by fire. And the wood, hay, and stubble, all that's going to be burned up. And what's going to be left is the gold, silver, precious stones, which then Christ. And so this is that opportunity that we have, not that we have, that we're going to have. See, none of us like accountability. None of us do. Nobody likes anybody getting into our business. But one day, God's going to get into our business. And that's why I think it's so important. And that's why I want us to just be aware. So as we look at our county, we have a great privilege as individuals and family and students, and we have a responsibility to make a difference. God has strategically placed you in your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, your marketplace on purpose for a purpose of living sent. And I love that some of our families, another way that some of our families are making an impact is through foster care and adoption. Florida Baptist Children's Home is out there this morning. They can help you find out if that's an interest to you. But they're making a difference there. And they're living sent for those that are children at risk. Now, those are powerful words, you know, as we look at our individual influence and responsibility. You don't want to just go through the motions. You don't want to waste another day. Now, I told you, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, your individual influence. But now the last little section here, I just want to talk to us, first of all, about the cooperation of a team. And I'm going to focus on some of our connection groups and small groups this morning. But I heard that acrostic a long time ago about team. Together, everything. Everyone accomplishes more. Together, everyone accomplishes more. And I believe that that's a biblical concept. I believe that teamwork and organization is something that you'll see in Scripture. I mean, I can look back and when Moses was struggling with all by himself, you know, judging and governing the people during the Exodus, his father-in-law came up and said, "Hey, you can't do it by yourself. You need a team of other men that will come beside you and help you to lead and to govern and to judge." And then there was also that the rebuilding of the walls in Nehemiah, where they got into different teams and different groups had different responsibilities, and they were able to accomplish an unbelievable task. And then when Jesus sent out the 70 in teams of two, He sent them out as just a team of two to accomplish something that maybe one individual couldn't do. And then, of course, I love that picture of the feeding of the 5,000 when the disciples came and said, "Jesus, we better send them home. They got to eat." Jesus said, "You feed them." And they said, we can't do that. There's too many of them. And then as Jesus organized them and then did a miracle, because sometimes miracles happen when you get a body of believers together. But that group of 12 men were to accomplish something that just blew them away, that they could have never done individually. And they could have never done without the power that was there to perform the miracle. But we have that same power. You know, we have that same Holy Spirit power that is in us, Romans says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we'll talk about that more. But so those are great, you know, illustrations in Scripture. How about Johnny and Chachi? You don't know Johnny and Chachi? I've asked them to kind of put a little something for us this morning about teamwork. Look at this video.
Hi, I'm Johnny. We're Get In Here Ministries. And, you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay. Boom.
Boom. Boom. Boom. You know, hearing Johnny sing by himself is rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we're even able to do this. I tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me kick a harmony.
Hi there. We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dacho in the mix.
Dacho, dacho, dacho.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. Then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break out something special.
You You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
We have teamwork for a person. I'd love them as all get out.
All right, I think we made some headway on
that.
Yeah. Okay, they weren't in Scripture, but I think it was a good point just to see what can happen through just the silliness of some music, you know. But, you know, that is something that's really neat to see, that when a group of believers come together to do something, you can make beautiful music together. And that's what C2 is all about, connecting to others. And there are things that God can accomplish through the collective efforts of a group of individuals that he could never do through one person by themselves. And that's one of the main reasons we've invited our Jerusalem partners to be with us today. And I want to encourage you as Connection Group leaders, Connection Group members, a small group, a discipleship group, whatever group that you find yourself in, to maybe consider. We've asked all of them to present to us some projects that they need done. And it would be a great opportunity for you as a group, a collective group of believers in your small group to do something, whether it's on a semi-regular basis, maybe just a one-time thing, but to be able to do something as an outreach to our community. And we have many connection groups that are already doing things. Our Encounter group has done a monthly Ridgecrest ministry. As a matter of fact, it's come to a place now where they're even busing in some children on Sundays, and that's just a remarkable thing. And then Three Strand has done a bi-weekly soup kitchen ministry, and I know that Mirror Image does a nursing home ministry, and I know a lot of your other connection groups are doing things to reach out into our community to have an impact, and I just thank you for that. A connection group that I'm a part of just recently is called the Quest Group. We go ahead and run that little video. We came to find out about a need that Seminole Elementary School had for some landscaping. This was just an unsightly area that they wanted something done, just didn't have the resources to kind of make this thing nice. And so we met with the groundskeeper, and then he had this thought of making planting beds for the kids. And so we came out there. Go ahead and run the next video. And we built these planting beds. The lumber, 10 of these planting beds, had to get about, you know, 5 yards of topsoil, 12 yards or 16 yards of mulch. And it cost about $1,000, but the Quest Group donated the money themselves within a week. And we planned this project on a Saturday morning. We didn't know how long it would take because it's a lot of work. But we had a lot of people helping. You can show the pictures there. There's just two pictures of the project. And so we set aside 4 hours. We thought it may take longer than that. We did it in 45 minutes, you know. And then we got a thank you from the groundskeeper, who just said, thank you so very much. I mean, I have it here, but he just said, you know, the students will definitely enjoy this new garden area. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary on May 2nd. We'd like to invite you and your members to join us again. Thank you and God bless you. And, you know, what we want to do is, and we'll talk about this in just a second about our church, but having an impact on our schools. And now our pack-a-sack has moved into Seminole Elementary School, and already 11 children are identified as chronically hungry, and they're beginning to minister there. But just having an impact, and no one could have ever done that individually, but with a group focused on something for an hour on a Saturday morning, did something that was going to bless this school for the remainder of the school year and probably years to come. But that's what I want to just encourage us as groups within our church. Find something. You know, find a way that we have an individual responsibility, but as a group, what can you do? A one-time project or something on a semi-regular basis to bless and to reach out and to love on our Jerusalem. And the last thing I want us to look at this morning is just the power of the church and what happens. I mean, when I'm talking about the church, it's like Pastor Jeff says, it's not this building in our 50 acres that we're blessed with, but we are the church. But and it's really special when the church comes together and they're focused on something. Everyone focused, like our rice packing event. How many have been involved in that over the last few years? You know, where we had this past year 1,200 people packing 100,000 meals. But with Pastor Jeff's leadership, as we were going through, just thinking about a year and a half ago, how can we touch our community? And the discussion came back to our schools here. And realizing from our generations team that we still have an opportunity. Those doors are still open. We don't know how much longer, but the doors are still open for believers to have an influence. And sometimes we look at this younger generation and say, what can we do about them? We can do a lot. And so we determined that there's about 10 schools in the shadow of our church that we want to have an impact on. And there's about 6 elementary schools, 3 middle schools or 4, and a couple of 3 high schools that we just say we want to have an impact there. And 2 of the ways that we've said as a church that we can do that is 1, mentoring. And I just want to encourage you that if you have the opportunity, all it takes is about 45 minutes once a week to be a mentor. As a matter of fact, Colt Martin is a mentor, and he has about a minute video I just want you to see, if you'll run that right now.
Hi, my name is Colt Martin. I'm here to talk about the mentoring program. Last year, I was able to be involved with the mentoring program at Seminole High School and was able to meet with a sophomore student. This was a great opportunity for me just to be able to be a part of the community outreach event that we have through the mentoring program, so that us as believers and as a church can get involved in the school programs. I'm able to meet with my mentee once every other week for about 30 to 45 minutes. It's a great time for us to let him be able to talk about anything that he wants to. We play cards. I usually bring lunch. And this is a good opportunity for him to have somebody to talk to just about things that are going on in his life. And it's another opportunity for us as a church to be able to step up within the community and really lead. So I challenge each one of you to be a part of the mentor program coming up this next year, and look forward to the great things that God's going to be doing with this program.
What an opportunity that we have with an open door in our schools to connect with students. Now, if you want to be a mentor, you have to go through Pinellas County's mandatory training. And last year, we told people where this training was. This year, we're bringing the training on our campus. And so I believe you'll see it in the heartbeat, a strategic workshop for mentors. I think it's in the right-hand panel. And there's 2 dates, one a Monday during the morning, one on a Wednesday night, October the 1st. So I just encourage you, you have to sign up. But we're having it here on our campus, so you can for more information, you can just use that contact information. But what an opportunity to still have an impact, and that's where our focus has been at the church, is these schools. And then the Pack-A-Sack. Thank you so very much for the way that you've responded with your bringing in your goods for our Pack-A-Sack. And what they did last year was amazing, as they kind of expanded a little bit. And with 2,500 meals that were our sacks that were packed throughout that year. And I think that they ministered to about, 60 to 70 students. This year, we think it's going to be closer to 100 because we're focusing on, 4 different schools. And today, we're going to have a Pack-A-Sack event. And I'd encourage you to stick around for it if you're able to. It's not after this service. It's after the next service at 12:30, right in our fellowship center. We're going to feed you a snack lunch, because we don't know how many of you are coming. You know, if there's only about 20 of you, we're going to feed you a big lunch. But if there's 600 or 700 of you, it's a snack lunch, some pizza, a little salad, cookies, just to carry you over until you get home later. It probably will only take about an hour. by the time it's all said and done. We don't know how it's going to work, but we'd encourage you to be a part of it right after the 10:45 service, probably about 12:15 we'll get started. Come over there, let us give you some pizza, let me give you, bring your kids, allow them to pack a sack. And it's just a great time where the church can come together and accomplish something that one person can't. And the way that I want to close today is I love praying scripture. And I love that prayer that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:14-20, he prayed this prayer for the church of Ephesus. And I personally have taken that prayer and personalized it. And as I pray for this church, I oftentimes just pray this scripture. And I just want to do that this morning as we close. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. You'll see the scripture up there, but I'm just going to read it as I've personalized it myself as I pray for our church. It says, I come before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant Indian rocks to be strengthened with your power, through your spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to you, Lord, who's able to do far abundantly than we are able to ask or think according to the power that works within us, to you be glory in Indian rocks and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.